Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. I'm happy to be back this week after Todd filled in for me last episode. And this week on the show, we have Arsalan Ahmed.
Hi, everyone. This is Arsalan.
Thanks for being with us. You are a local podcaster to Columbus as well.
Yep. I've started here and really enjoy doing podcasting. I think Columbus is a good place to start podcasting.
Yeah, I love it here. There's a great community for it. So I'm super excited to have you on and talk about your show later on. So we have news. I have my podcast Chronicle, and I'm going to talk about how Arsalan, you know, developed his show and what he uses PowerPress for, what he likes about it probably, and then we'll wrap up the show with a little bit more news at the end, and that'll be all for today.
Awesome.
So for the first news bit, it is about the name podcasting. Earlier this week, Jacobs Media, Seth Reisler of Jacobs Media, put out a article about, is the name podcasting hurting the medium's growth? And there were some people, I think there were like five or six people included that gave their input. And I know Todd was one of them, Todd, our CEO of Blueberry, saying that most of them saying that, no, I do not think the name podcasting is hurting the medium. And I agree. I don't think it is either. Do you have an opinion?
Yes, I do. I think that there is some history there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came from the iPod and the idea that there is a some kind of a feed mechanism. So it's like broadcast, but then you get it on your iPod, right? And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. The alternatives are, they don't have that kind of appeal to me. What's the alternative?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. There isn't really a word for this necessarily. I know Todd, in his quote, brought up that podcasting is synonymous with audio on demand, but audio on demand is, that's three words, and I don't want to say three words. I want to say one.
I think that the reality is that because it has a history, it has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, like, people like stories.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't give up a name that has a good story behind it.
I don't think any one of them touched on that in any of their quotes. I mean, I read all of them earlier today, but I don't remember anyone really focusing on that idea either, because that is true. Some people, I mean, it's podcasting is not specific to Apple anymore. It's available for everyone on Android. However, it did start with that, and there is a reason why it has this name, and that'll at least get people's attention and possibly, you know, get people more interested in it. And I don't know if that's ever occurred to any of these people that were involved in this.
It's pretty historic.
It's
a huge change after radio.
Mm-hmm.
And several decades went on, and we had broadcast radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was revolutionary. And then the internet.
Yep.
And I think that from the point of view of getting information,
mm-hmm.
after television, radio, you have podcasting, which is really just a way of getting some audio or video delivered to you automatically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Otherwise, you can just go onto a website and just stream things or
exactly.
listen to things yourself. But this is just a way of you getting things based on your preferences.
Exactly.
An amazing, powerful idea that it evolved from blog syndication.
Mm-hmm.
Blog syndication had these kind of feeds, and somebody said, well, why can't we just index our audio
with it as well.
Yeah. I think it's great. I like it.
I do. I like the word too. And at this point, like you said, there's a story with it. And this name has been around for a decade now. How are we supposed to go back? Like, it's hard enough trying to get people to know the term podcasting. If we even tried to change it now, I can't imagine what that would do to the idea of podcasting, of people knowing about this medium. Like, it's becoming more popular, it's becoming more known, and if we were going to change that now, that would just hurt so much. I don't see the benefit of changing it at all. I don't think it's hurting us. I think possibly other parts of podcasting are hurting us, but the actual name for it is not.
I think that maybe what they're trying to say is now you can do video.
There is using, that too.
Using that, and maybe you're on different devices. Maybe you're on smart TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And a podcast maybe doesn't make sense to sell, to market it as a podcast on a smart TV. I understand that. And maybe those things could be named differently.
Mm-hmm.
But what we understand as a podcast is something that you have a smart device that can download audio content, maybe even video content,
mm-hmm.
based on your preferences. You subscribe to a channel and you get delivered something. It's your personal device.
Yep.
And that, I think, works. Now, if you want to build a system to do this, something similar for a smart TV or on your in your car, for example,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe we can brand it differently then.
Yeah. That's a good idea, though. I have my own qualms about video podcasts being considered podcasts, but that's just because I honestly don't really have much interest in them. Like, I understand that they are podcasts and that they can be consumed mostly the same way and that they work the same way. However, I'm not going to watch them.
I think that the reason they're called podcasts or they're considered podcasts is because the technology is exactly the same.
That's and what it is.
It's the wrong way of looking at, of going about this, naming things based on technology.
Yeah.
Right? So it's something completely different. I'm not going to be watching videos while I'm driving.
Nope.
So that's something completely different from kind of a passive audio consumption that we do.
Exactly. I mean, what people do is they listen to a podcast while they're on a jog or while they're cleaning the house and they're able to put it on speakers and walk around. That's the thing that you can do with podcasts. But with a video podcast, you have to sit there. You have to sit there and watch it.
I think so. Maybe the right question would be, should we change the name of video podcast?
Yeah.
Or maybe just leave podcast as it is,
yep.
as an audio podcast. And maybe anything else that requires your attention, maybe on a smart TV,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you have to watch it on your tablet, maybe we can call it a videocast.
I mean, whatever works for people that want to get out their video podcast out there. Call it whatever you want. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up, we have my podcast Chronicle. And I have not done one of these, I feel like, in a while. And this week, what I wanted to talk about was kind of evaluating the information that I'm getting out to people, like the content that I am providing. Are people appreciating the types of people that I'm having on the show and the types of news that I am bringing up, and how do I exactly find out if people do like that? Because, I mean, I can look at the stats and see and kind of gauge, like, from episode to episode what they are enjoying more, but I'm trying to, think of more ideas about how I can evaluate that for myself and for the audience, I guess. So, I don't know. Have you ever thought about that for your show?
Yeah, so obviously people get email me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I let people know this is my email address, and I'd love to know get your feedback.
Yeah. But
obviously, a lot of people, most of your listeners are not going to email me.
No.
Because it's too painful. So then I have this SpeakPipe plugin on my blog where mm-hmm. you can actually record a voicemail. It's easier.
Okay.
But still, it's a thing that they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the only way, I'm not an expert in this, but I think the only way to get participation and to get feedback mm-hmm. is to give them something.
Okay.
To give them a reason to interact with you.
Give them a reason to actually reach out to me.
Yeah, because if all they wanted to do was to listen to your shows, well, they're able to do that without doing anything.
Without me knowing and being part of that.
Why would they email you? Why would they click around and take time to do something else when you're not offering anything in return? So I feel like that's a missing part. That's why people do giveaways, right?
Yeah.
I completely understand why they do that. Now, that's, I think, distracts us a little bit from our podcast, because then you have to think about something else.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know that's part of the whole process, I guess, because the podcast is so much more than the actual what you're creating for the audio sometimes. I mean, yes, it's incredibly helpful and probably it's the most important thing is the content, but you have to somehow reach out to your audience and find out if what you're providing is what they want. And if you could tweak it, I think you should, because, I mean, you're relying on your audience, essentially. You're doing your podcast for yourself most of the time. However, everyone thinks of the audience as well.
That's true, but that opens up this other thing, which is can be a little bit tricky,
mm-hmm.
which is, okay, now you have to figure out what you need to give away to your audience to get them to respond. And how do you know?
Yeah.
You have to talk to them.
You have to get some kind of feedback before you even, like, possibly find something that sparks their interest that they want.
Yeah. So it's a difficult problem, but mm-hmm. I think that with time it can be resolved because over time. I've had a couple of people reach out to me, mm-hmm. and they told me how much their life has changed by listening to my podcast.
Something well, that's good.
It's great, right?
Yeah, that's what you want to hear.
I talk about career growth. I talk about the emotions, mm-hmm. the emotional journey that we go through in our careers, mm-hmm. for software developers. And it's a tough world to be in, but not tough for everybody. But for the right people, it strikes a chord.
Mm-hmm.
And people have told me, and it really struck me, that they listen to my podcast. You know, they go back to the archive and they listen to episode one, and then they keep going until
they catch up to the latest episode.
Until they catch up. And they're doing that because they're getting something out of it. Now, those people will reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I can ask them and do something that, and hope that there are other people like them as well.
Right.
So if I make something for them, other people will like them. Other people will also join in, and then I could give them and offer them a freebie
mm-hmm.
that will give them the encouragement to, you know, take some time to get back to me.
Yeah, that's a great start, though, because especially if, I mean, even one person that reaches out to you, because you have a specific show, if they are interested in something, then it's a plausible chance that the other listeners are going to be interested in what they said as well. So that's definitely a good start.
Yeah, that's true. Something I'm working on. So I haven't figured it out completely, but I'm working on it.
I think it'll be like an evolving thing too, as your show moves on, as, you know, the audience possibly changes over time. It's not always going to be the same. And who knows, with technology and all the new things that come out on a regular basis, that could change too.
Absolutely.
What you're providing. So, mm-hmm. Okay, that's my podcasting chronicle. If you guys have any feedback, which is, you know, exactly what we're saying, reach out to me via multiple ways, phone, this podcast, on the blog, email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Whatever works for you, I will be able to respond. Okay. So next up, I want to focus on you and your show and PowerPress. So what is your show?
Okay. The name of my podcast is Mentoring Developers.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it is, you can think of it as a movement.
Okay.
I have worked in the software industry as a developer for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there are a lot of people who start their careers, including myself when I started,
mm-hmm.
and I struggled.
Yeah.
There was a definite struggle. It was a lot of difficult times, difficult hurdles that I had to cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't clear what to do. And it wasn't the culture the pervasive culture in our industry is not one of support and empathy.
No.
Right? It's the idea is that they can throw you into the deep end, and if you swim and if you survive, you're worthy of continued employment. Otherwise, they'll drop you and then that's it. And then they expect you, okay, if you sink, if you can't swim, if you're not able to actually excel in that environment,
right,
then obviously you're not good enough. I challenge that idea. I think that there are lots of people who can bring a lot of value to software companies and software products if they were allowed to grow. And so if we could nurture them. I have believed that for many years. And I have had the chance to mentor developers in formal capacity, informal capacity over the years. And I've seen them grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that as a community, as an industry, we are losing out on good talent, first of all.
Yep.
Something that we really need.
Yep.
The other thing is that our software products are kind of one-dimensional, and they tend not to be representative of our demographics.
Mm-hmm.
So we might make a health app, for example, that only caters for young white males.
Yeah. Right?
Because that's who we are. And if our company is composed of a certain demographic, those are the people who built the software. Those are the people who tested the software. So we're sort of failing our society here. So I think we can do better. So this podcast is about encouraging people to get mentorship, encouraging mentors to help new developers, and changing our culture from within. That's what it's all about. I'm passionate about it. And essentially, I think that if I'm successful, my success will be that I have converted some people into the idea that diversity is good, that a monoculture is not a good thing, and that empathy and support are virtues that we need in our industry.
And they go a long way.
Absolutely. So I interview new developers and I interview mentors, both of them. And then I also have discussion panels.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, discussion panels are really interesting because then I bring together usually really senior people, people with influence, and people who are just starting out.
Yep.
And we talk about topics such as which programming language to use, or should we go to college? Do I need to go to college?
Yep.
It's not clear. It's not clear what you should be doing. How do you get... So I interviewed somebody about how to get your first job. Well, then that person got a second job after that. So I interviewed her about how to get your second job.
Yeah, that's a little different.
It's very different.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, and I think that I'm getting a lot of engagement from users. And I encourage everybody who is thinking about becoming a software developer and you're a little bit scared, you're not sure what to do, you're in high school maybe, or maybe you're in your 40s, it doesn't matter. If you want to do this and if you have the aptitude, you can.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here for.
I think that's great because, I mean, I knew the premise of your podcast. I knew it was mentoring developers and that you interviewed all types of developers on there. I never thought of it in the sense of hoping to change and encourage people because that industry is so tough. Like, I mean, I work with three or now four programmers in this room right now, and I am not a programmer myself. And I see that they are just dealing with these tasks on a regular basis, and it is sink or swim a lot of the time. It is very much sink or swim. And if you don't have some type of support system, I can see how that would knock out tons of people very quickly. I mean, it was known as like a very specific type of person that would be a developer or a programmer or anything like that. But we're seeing it grow. And I think stuff like this is going to help with that. So kudos to you on this show. It's a lot more than I thought it was.
Well, thank you. I think that it's resonating with people because it's something that nobody wants to talk about. And I think that's our job as podcasters. As human beings who want to make a difference in the world, podcasting gives us this voice, this power that we didn't have before.
Yep.
Now we can say things, and if it resonates with people, people can join together and create movements. And I think that's the greatest feeling.
Yeah. I think that's why people gravitate towards podcasts, because you are able to get a podcast about anything that you want, including something like what you're doing. Okay, well, I know that you use PowerPress, so do you have anything, like any tips for PowerPress that you know about, or anything that you like about it, or anything that you hate about it?
PowerPress is amazing. It has a lot of features that I don't know much about, to be honest. But I've discovered that it's playing around with the features or exploring different helps, because there's some hidden features about SEO, search engine optimization. Yep. And there's a player in there that I kind of don't use right now, but I wish I could. So there's, I wish there was a way for me to learn about all the cool features in PowerPress without, I don't know, spending a lot of time. So that's something that I'm missing.
Okay.
But I've been, I've definitely benefited. It's just a very turnkey type thing. Just put your URLs in there and just type stuff in, and it just works.
Yeah.
So that's been quite incredible for me, especially with the fields, and it's very straightforward. I think it's really good.
Okay, good. We are going to be doing a webinar about how to set up your PowerPress, and especially if you're going to use Blueberry Hosting with it. That is starting today, actually. So on a regular basis, we're going to be doing a webinar for new customers, and I think even at some point down the line, existing customers, that if you want a basic idea of how to get this set up, we can, you know, just go through the tutorial with you, and it's pretty basic. I mean, I only know some parts of PowerPress, and it's very helpful for me, so I assume it will be for other people as well, but that gives us an idea that, you know, we should go through the detailed and advanced features of PowerPress, because I'm sure there are people out there that are missing out on these features because they just don't know what to do. Anyone can take their time and move through PowerPress every once in a while, but it's not something that you do on a regular basis.
Right, because sometimes we have something that works and we don't want to mess with it.
Exactly.
I think it would be good if we had these bite-sized videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to commit to an hour, and I don't have to be in a certain place for a webinar, and just get 2 minutes on improving your SEO.
On one specific thing.
Yeah.
Because
I know the podcast player
is
good and maybe has improved, but I have something that works.
Yep.
So I don't know if I should change it because I have a live website.
Exactly.
And I have other things that I'm doing. So it would be good if I have a 2 or 3 minute video, like, this is what it looks like right now. And that would be something that I would appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something that we can look to do in the future. So thank you. Okay, anything else you would like to say about the Mentoring Developers podcast or PowerPress?
Yeah, so the podcast is hosted on mentoringdevelopers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to have people who want to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to interview people and have people in panel discussions, whether you are a new developer, you want to be a developer, or maybe you've been in this industry but you have an opinion on mentorship, or any of the other career-oriented topics. We don't really get deep into any technical programming in there. So the URL for that is mentoringdevelopers.com/join. That's a Google form where they can just give us some information about what they like, and when they're available, we can schedule them in. And I also want to see if I can get people to agree to mentor others. So if you want to be a mentor, then just let me know. My email is us@mentoringdevelopers.com. And we just want to help people and want to hear from as many people as I can, and see how we can help them, because there are lots of people, actually, believe it or not, there are a lot of people who are in very influential positions. I've talked to them, and they would love to help, but they don't want to commit.
Right.
So I think that if we can provide a way for people to get help where the mentors don't have to commit a lot of time, but still they get really high quality mentorship and guidance.
Right. It's kind of a one-time deal that way.
Yeah. It's something that we can work out, but I need to know what are the needs of the audience.
Right.
So I'd love for people to check out my podcast.
Yeah, I will definitely put it your email and your website in the show notes as well. So anyone that is listening, if you are interested and didn't catch what he said for the URL or the email, just go to powerpresspodcast.com and it'll be in the show notes for you.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
Okay. So we have one last bit of news for you today, and This one is actually very recent, as in article came out about it today, Thursday. And this is about Radio Public. And I have multiple times at this point said public radio instead of Radio Public when discussing this. So Jake Shapiro has stepped down from PRX as the CEO and is now the founder and CEO of a new company called Radio Public. And essentially they are, in my mind, they're going to be a subsidiary of PRX. I don't know if they're going to be completely different companies or what, but PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, are behind This American Life, and they were part of what started Radiotopia, which houses so many other podcasts that are getting very popular. So they've got a lot of clout in the podcasting world. And now Radio Public has started and is going to be focusing on listeners and not producing podcasts. So I don't know how that's... I don't know if we have enough information on day one right now. I'm curious to see how it's going to go.
Well, that's interesting because it looks like they want to build experiences for users.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody uses their applications to listen to podcasts...
Yeah.
Well, then they're going to be the Google of podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
And they will have all of our data in, and then they can sell ads.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't even get that far yet. I didn't even think about that yet.
I'm just speculating. I have no idea.
But that is something that could happen with this, because they want to focus on mobile applications to make podcast listening as easy as possible. They said that they're not going to be producing any podcasts. They will be releasing the app and one app later this year. I don't know how many they will be doing in general. They probably don't know how many they'll have. But they want to make it like crazy, stupid, simple. Like basically have the app just press play and you listen to your podcast, which I understand. The easier, the better for most applications. That's why I typically just stick to the iOS application, because my podcasts that I have downloaded are right there. I press play, it disappears, and that's it, and that's all I want.
There's some apps that are actually very clever.
Mm-hmm.
I use a podcatcher app called Downcast.
Okay.
Now that's cost about $4.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it because I can skip forward and like back.
Yes.
And it has playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because it has these gestures, so I can swipe left and swipe right to skip.
Oh, that's nice.
And I can just, so if I want to go, so swiping will move you 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do it 5 times, I'm going to go 5 times 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it sort of cues my swipes. I think it's kind of clever. It just saves me time because I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I think there's some benefit to using some third-party apps.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I have never seen a need in my life for a playlist, because the majority of the time I will listen to one podcast and then I'm done, and then I'll listen to another later on. I don't really binge them anymore. I guess I used to do that, but even then, I can't remember what I was using. I was using some podcast catcher in like 2010, I think, and I was on an Android, and I can't even remember what it was, but I did not like it. And then at some point I got an iPhone, and I was like, this is so much easier. And it just seemed less complicated, and that is kind of what kept me at that, and I never really felt the need to go get a different one. But that is something that will probably change, because I remember in the article that I read, it said they will be when they're like creating this user experience, they'll be changing based on, you know, how people are reacting to it. And they want to try to minimize the screen time so people can focus on the audio. And they're probably going to have to go through some different versions to finally get a good one and, you know, evolve from there.
I hope they get it right. I hope they get privacy right there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be critical. If they're going to be the place to listen to podcasts, then that's
right.
way too much power for one company.
Well, now that you bring that up, I am reading in this article, it says Radio Public is being for-profit corporation rather than a nonprofit. And it's saying that they did that because it's easier to raise money for journalism than it is technology and design. But like you're saying, at its core, it's making product for consumers. It's going to need to make money somehow.
Yeah. And I will bet that they will make this a free app because they want everybody to use it.
Yep.
That's another Google. We have another Google on our hands.
Yep. I mean, I am that person. If you want me to pay for an app, I'm probably going to suck it up and use another one instead.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to buy it and then realize that I hate it.
Yep.
I'm just going to suck it up and deal with another app first.
Yep.
And very, very rarely actually buy any. So never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. But I think it's exciting because the fact that there's a new for-profit company coming on just to make podcast listening software, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that they expect a lot of people to be listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Which means this industry is getting bigger.
That's the thing. If they're able to raise money to start this for-profit company, it's because people, like companies and, you know, are believing in podcasting and that it's going to stick around. And unfortunately, while it seems like Big Brother a little bit, we need some influx of cash for podcasting to continue to grow at the rate that it is right now.
Yeah.
It has to happen somehow. Like, podcasting is at its roots, you know, the guy in his basement doing a podcast. However, that is not necessarily what has gotten us to the popularity of podcasting right now. So people can bash companies like this all they want. But they do bring podcasting out to the public more often.
Yep, good point.
So, I will keep you guys all updated on Radio Public as well because I am very curious to see what they're going to do with this app. And I want to know if it's going to be iOS and Android because, you know, there's a lot of apps out there that are not available for both, on both sides for mm-hmm. podcast apps.
I think that they will have to do Android as well as mm-hmm. an iPhone because the users are split.
Yeah, they are. They are. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of the PowerPress Podcast. Arsalan, thanks so much for coming on today. Everyone, check out his podcast called Mentoring Developers and give him some feedback if you want to be on the show and please provide feedback for the PowerPress Podcast as well. And actually, I just thought of something. Arsalan, did you say that you are going to Podcast Movement?
I am.
Yeah, I remember the last time I saw you, you were debating it. So just wanted to put it out there for all of you guys. Use the code BLUEBERRY for a $40 discount for your ticket. It's going to be July 6th through 8th this summer in Chicago. There is also going to be a link for that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It will be my first time
mm-hmm.
going to any podcasting conference.
Oh, nice. This is a good start for you then.
And, you know, I like Chicago, so I don't mind driving out there.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys will be there. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to meet other people. So if anybody out there is going to Podcast Movement, you know, get in touch with me.
Yeah, it's definitely a networking environment for sure of podcasters. You're going to be able to, you know, talk with companies such as ours, BLUEBERRY, and then you're going to be able to just meet like loads of podcasters as well. So I think you'll enjoy it, and I'm excited to see you there.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, once again, guys, thanks you for listening to the PowerPress Podcast, and we'll be back next episode. Thanks.